はい、今日は、詩編68を読みます。まず今日読むところは全部ではないですけど、本当は全部学びたいけど、まあ時間が難しいので、ちょっとだけ読みますけど、そっちの方はどこからにしましょうか。まず18から20を読みます。18から20。 So today we're going to read Psalm 68, and we'll look at, I'd like to look at the whole thing, but we don't really have time in one translated session to do it, so we'll just do verses 18 to 20. Okay, so let's look at Psalm 68, verse 18 to 20. 日本語でまずやります。あなたは捕虜を引き連れて糸たたきところに登り、人々に顔面な者どもにさえ贈り物を与えられた。神であられる主がそこに住まわれるために、褒むべきかな主、日々私たちの主にを担われる方、この神こそ私たちの救いセラ。神は私たちの救いの神。死を、免れるのは私の主神で、神によると書いてます。 In English, Psalm 68 verse 18 to 20. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train, and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. Blessed be the Lord, who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation. And to God, the Lord, belong deliverances from death. Okay. はい。よく言われるのは、詩編のヘブライ語は難しくて、ユダヤ人でも英語で、ヘブライ語よりも英語で読んだ方が分かりやすいと言っています。それはよく分かっています。よくいろんな訳を考えながら比べながら、別の側面、別の解釈をいろんな人が通ります。例えば聖書の中でもそうです。パウルがこの箇所を引用したときに、ちょっと今書かれているニュアンスと違うニュアンスを解釈していますので、まあでもそれは神様がデザインされているもので、一応詩編も詩です。詩はそういうものです。詩は新聞じゃないです。詩は歴史の章ではない。詩は美しいものです。だからその中にいろいろな意味が囲まれています。で、この今日読んだ箇所もいろんな意味、いろんな解釈がありますけど、どれが正しいというよりも、それを全部理解して、まあ、全体的に感謝する、認めることがいいと思います。はい。まあ、聖書の中にもいろいろな人は聖書を解釈するときも、特に新約聖書、旧約聖書を解釈するときもそのように解釈しますので、私たちもまあそのようにできます。はい。今日はまずこのパターンを、見せたいと考えたいと思います。18、あなたは捕虜を引き連れて糸をたたきところに登り、人々に顔面な者どもにさえ贈り物を与えられた。神であられる主が そこに住まわれるためにと書いてます。まあ、珍し的に3つのサークル、見えないな、3つのサークルがある。1つは、出エジプト、出エジプト、モーセ。もう1つはイエス様で、もう1つはまあ教会にこのパターンがあります。最初は出エジプトを考えます。モーセはシナエ山からエジプトに下りました。エジプトに、まとめた方がいいな。シナエ山からエジプトに行きました。で、捕虜を連れて行きました。捕虜というのはイスラエル人、イスラエル人はみんな奴隷の状態にいました。彼らはファラオの奴隷でした。のでモーセは彼らを連れて行って糸を叩きところに連れて行きました。もちろんまたシナエ山に連れて行きました。でそこでモーセは糸を叩きところにまた登りました。でモーセがもらったのは律法と、まあ、天幕いろいろな詳しいことです。律法はこの人たちは神様を知ること、神様の前で正しく歩むこと、彼らは正しい礼拝をする、正しい社会を作る、神様の性格のにふさわしい生き方をするために与えられた律法です。で新しいその天幕とあるゆる、まあ、祭司の服とか天幕のあるゆる律法は神様と共に住まわれるため、彼らが罪深いものですから聖なる神が彼らの間に住まわれるために彼らの罪が許される必要がありました。彼らは清められる必要がありましたので、天幕とあるゆる役割、まあ、祭司とかそれぞれの部族の役割が与えられました。でそれによって彼らは新しい社会を作ることができました。はい、じゃあそれはモーセで、イエス様は同じようにしました。今度はイエス様はイエス様は天から下りました。彼はまず地上に降りました。でやがて地獄に行きました。まあ地獄というのはハデスのことですね。でハデスでイエス様の島でずっと待ってた正しい人たち、彼らはアブラハムと共にずっと待ってた。彼らは自分の罪のために亡くなったけど、でも神様の恵みにあって亡くなったから待ってた。彼らはイエス様が十字架で亡くなってからハレスに行って彼らを自由にしてくだされ伝えました。でその人たちは天に連れて行かれたので、イエス様は十字架の後でマリアに言った、私を持たないでください、私はまだ天にの父のところに登ってないから。イエス様はまだその大きな技を完了しなかった。ですからイエス様は糸を叩きところに行きました。また父のところに行って、で今回はイエス様はまあ律法と天幕代わりにイエス様はその聖霊と まあ、聖書、あの新約、新約聖書をあの与えた。はい。で、あの、まあ、数年後で、パウロは、エフェソの人たちに話したときに、彼もこの箇所を引用しました。で、教会に当てはめた。ので、その箇所を見ましょう。それは、エフェソ4章にありますので、エフェソ4章を見てください。エフェソ4章。はい、エペソ4章、まあ、全部この出エジプトの元にあの建て作られているように書かれてますけど、じゃあ見ましょう。まずは一節あのから読みます。さて主にある主人の私はあなた方に勧めます。最初はパウロは自分のことを主人と言います。彼も捕虜、連れて行かれたイエス様の恵みによって連れて行かれたものですから、彼もその恵みを一緒に受け入れています。あなた方は召されたその召にふさわしく歩みなさい。それぞれのクリスチャンはそれぞれの召しがある。みんなは同じではない。謙遜と柔和の限りを尽くし、寛容を示し、愛を持って互いに耐え忍び、平和の絆で結ばれて、あの御霊による一致を熱心に保ちなさい。一致保つ、耐え忍ぶこと、忍耐とか寛容、柔和、それはなぜでしょう。それは私たちはみんな違うから。いろいろな飯がある、いろいろな性格がある、いろいろな言葉がある、いろいろな生き方がある。まあ教会はそういうものです。ですからあの、まあ、特にその時のエペソ教会にユダヤ人もギリシャ人もトルコ人もローマ人もいたでしょう。ある人は奴隷、ある人はあの奴隷を持っている商人たちとか、いろんな人がいました。もちろんみんなはレベルが違う、習慣が違うですけど、パウロは私たちは一致を守らなければならないと言っています。で4節、あなた方が召された、あ、ん？なんだっけ、ごめん、5節、主は一人、神化は一つ、バプティズマは一つです。すべてのものが上にあり、すべてのものを貫き、すべてのもののうちにおられる、すべてのものの父である神はただ一人です。しかし私たちは一人一人キリストの賜物の計りに従って恵みを与えられました。それでみんなの恵みの計り、恵みの量は違う。ある人は恵みによってよく話すことができる、他の人はあまり話せない。ある人はよく働くことができる、他の人はそういう恵みがないから、恵みによって私たちはみんな別々で働きながらけど位置を保っているということ。でその文脈で彼は詩編68、今読んだところを引用しました。見てください、8節、そのためにこう言われています。彼は糸たたきところに登った時、捕虜を連れて行き、人々に贈り物を与えられた。登ったということは体が低いところ、つまり地上に下られたということではなくて、何でしょうか。この下られた方ご自身は全てのものを満たすためにもろもろの天により高く登られた方でもあります。こうしてキリストご自身がある人たちを人、ある人たちを預言者、 ある人たちを伝道者、ある人たちを牧師、また教師としてお立てになりました。それは生徒たちを整えて奉仕の働きをさせ、キリストの体を立て上げるためです。私たちはみんな神の御子に対する信仰と知識において一つとなり、一人 の成熟した大人となってキリストの満ち満ちた身丈にまで達するのです。はい、じゃあパウロはこのことを完全に教会の恵み、聖霊の賜物の解釈をしました。はい、だからこの3つのパターンがありますけど、それは全部結局同じ原則を教えています。モーセが降りてきて捕虜を連れてきて、律法と天幕、まあパウルはイエス様のこと、イエス様はまずこの地に下ってきて罪のために囚われ人を釈放して連れていて、で今は天幕は教会、そして戒めはそれぞれの恵み、新約聖書、彼の手紙を与えられた。しかし何のために、まあこの律法と天幕はイスラエルの社会を作るため、彼らはこのように生きるべきだと神様は命じました。私たちは同じようにクリスチャンとしての社会、教会を作るためにイエス様は登りました。はい、まあ第2ポイント、第3ポイントで私たちがじゃあ日々私たちの生活にそれをどのように当てはめるかを考えましょう。Alright, so let's begin today with Psalm 68, and we read a little bit of Psalm 68. We read, I'll just read it one more time from verse 18 to 20. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train, and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. Blessed be the Lord, who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God belong deliverances from death. Right. It's often said by Jewish people that it's easier to read the Psalms in English than it is in Hebrew, even among people who speak Hebrew. And that is because they're not as simple and straightforward as we would hope and like them to be. Shihen, shi means poem, right? They're poetry, they're songs. Now, you know, many songs have cryptic lyrics. You know, you wonder, what's he talking about? They use idioms, they use allegories, you know. Your love is deep as an ocean. Well, what does that really mean? You know, it's not so clear. And so that's the same in this one. But of course, in the Bible, we can sometimes see that different people will take the same passage of Scripture and interpret it in a different way. And that's okay. You don't have to have only one application and one interpretation of a Scripture. And here we see that Psalm 68 is talking about the Exodus, but when Paul describes it, he's using it as a prophecy about Jesus. So we have two totally different interpretations of what happened here. Obviously, David was not talking about the church. He was talking about Moses. But along comes Paul, and now he's applying this to Jesus in the church. So let's understand, first of all, the pattern, and then in the second and third point, we'll look at what it means for us today. In our little illustration here, we see that it says, you ascended on high, and you led captivity captive. So what happened? Who ascended? Well, Moses. Moses was with God at Mount Sinai. Moses was with God before the burning bush. And Moses went down to the land of captivity. And the land of captivity is Egypt. And he took the captives of Egypt, the Jews, the children of Israel, who were captive hundreds of years there. He set them free. They couldn't have been free. They were waiting until God remembered them. But Moses set them free, but he didn't just set them free. He brought them to God. He brought them to Mount Sinai again. And then this Moses left them for a short period of time, and he went up into the top of the mountain with God in the cloud, and there he received the law, and he received all of the instructions about the tabernacle, about the tent of meeting. Why? Well, the law was about how to live, and the tabernacle was about how God can dwell among us. How should we build a society? How should we treat slaves? How should we deal with marriage? How should we deal with crime? That's all in the law. It teaches us how to live. In the context of Israel, I'm talking about. It was their law. How should they eat? How should they live? How should they run their cities? All things like that. And the tabernacle, that was to do with worship. How can a holy God dwell among a people like us? We need our sins forgiven. We need to be cleansed. We need to worship. We need to praise. We need to set aside gifts for God and things like that. And so what God gave them was the law and the instructions for the tabernacle. So that's the first pattern. And of course, it happens again in the New Testament. This time, it's not Moses. It's not Moses, but it's now Jesus who comes down. Jesus is with the Father, the eternal Father, and he comes down into the world. And he even goes to the lower parts of the world, and that is, of course, Hades. After he came from the cross, he went to Hades and he took captivity and captive all those that were waiting in their sin, waiting for the deliverer, the Messiah, to come and set them free. He came and set them free, and he took them to God. So if we die, Jesus takes us to God. But he didn't only take them to God. He also, remember after he got off the cross and he rose from the dead, he said to Mary Magdalene, "Don't hold me now, because I haven't yet gone to the Father. I still have to go back." Like Moses had to go back after Egypt. He came out of Egypt. He had to go back alone. He took Joshua as well. But basically alone. He had to go alone up the mountain for 40 days. And so Jesus too. He had to go up to be with God again. And while he was up there with God, what did he do? He sent not the law and the tabernacle, but he sent the Holy Spirit. And basically he sent the new covenant, the new law and the church. He gave the Holy Spirit so that the church would be empowered. So just like in the Old Testament, the law was given to determine how they would have their society, how they would live, how they would fight wars, how they would eat, and all of that kind of thing. So Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, which leads us in how to be a church. Now, Paul talks about this, and this is the third pattern here. Paul applies it to the church in the Gentile church here. Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 4, and reading from verse 1. "I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Notice Paul calls himself a prisoner, because he is one of those who have been set free. He was part of captivity, and now he is a servant of God. "With all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." So we're in a church where there's lots of different people. We have different ministries, different callings, different abilities, different gifts, different personalities. And Paul is saying that we need patience, we need love, we need long-suffering and all these things in order that we can all be different and yet all be one. That's the point here. how can all these people be one society in God? How can we be one people in God? We need, what do we need? Well, Paul says what we need here. Let's look at the next verse, verse 8. Therefore, it says, this is God's solution to the many but one problem. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to the manner of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right, so Jesus gave the gifts. Now, this is an interesting point. There's a lot of difference here between Paul's interpretation and what seems to be the interpretation or the meaning in the Psalms. And yet, it's the same truth that Paul has put into his perspective. So now, I'd like to look at this pattern and how it fulfilled. We're going to go back and look at the what happened in the Exodus and what it says in Psalm 68 and apply it to our situation today and learn from that. Right. Yeah. That's a menor point. さっき言ったように詩篇にいろいろ意味があります。一つの言葉だけでも多くの場合は言葉遊びがあります。で、言葉遊びはなんか重なことを伝えるため、それか二つの意味を一つのところに隠される。まあ、マタイ13章に賢い立法学者はその宝箱から新しいと古いものを出す。私たちも同じ箇所でも一般の前の意味と新しい側面を出すことができます。で、今それを、見ましょう。68編をまた戻ってください。さあ、最初は18節、あなたは捕虜を引き連れて糸たたきところに登り、人々に顔面な者どもにさえ贈り物を与えられた。神である主がそこに住まわれるために。じゃあ、一般的な最初の意味で、これはまあモーセの社会の時に、その当時の時に、神様はまず人から賜物を受けました。人々は自分の金、自分の銀、自分のお金、自分のそれぞれの家族の財宝、is that right? Fabric? 財宝 Fabric? What's a fabric? Like cloth? 布とか、まあ絹とか、そういう絹かわからんけどそういうものを大勢神様に与えた、モーセに与えた。なんででしょう？それは天幕を作るためだった。モーセは天幕を作るためにメノラとか契約の箱とか、その金はどこから来たでしょう？それはエジプトから来た。彼らは持ってきた。あるので、あんなに多くの金はその辺で見つけるわけではないですから、まずはもうこの日本語は英語みたいにもどっちかの訳を言わなければならないので、これはまあきっと神様が与えたというように呼んでますけど、実はヘブライ語に誰が誰を与えたかははっきりじゃない。で、それは面白い、興味深い意味です。最初は人々は自分のものを全部神様に与えた。神様はそれを受け入れて、まあ、モーセはそれを受け入れて、逆にそれは飾り物ではなくて、それは自分の宝石とか自分のためのものではなくて、神様が イスラエルの中で住まわれるために耐えました。同じようにパウロはある人たちを牧師として与えた、ある人を伝道師として与えた。じゃあその人たちはどこから来た？神様は天からまた作りました？そうではない。それは人々から取ったでしょ。それぞれの人たちはみんな違うけど、最初は皆さんは自分を神様に完全に与えて、それから神様は受け入れる、みんなの魂を受け入れる、みんなの性格を受け入れる、みんな の、あのできることとできないこと何でもかんでも受け入れる。神様は全部受け入れます。そして神様はそれを変えてまた教会に返す、違う形として返す。何のため？まあ出された例は今5つ、使徒、預言者、牧師、伝道師、教師。それはまあ教会で奉仕する人たちですけど、でも彼らは何のために与えられたと書いていますか？もう一度読んでください。12節。それは生徒たちを整えて奉仕の働きをさせ、キリストの体を立て上げるため。誰がキリストの体を立てるでしょう？まあそれはもちろんそのリーダーたちは人々に教えるけど、実際に奉仕するのは皆さんだから皆さんはそれぞれの働きをするものです。教会の中で奉仕者は教える人だけではない。みんなは奉仕者。しかもみんなの奉仕は同じぐらいに重要。隠されている奉仕がある。みんなは恵みの計りがある。ある人は他の人よりたくさんの人に話せないかもしれない、たくさんの働きができないかもしれない、制限があるかもしれないけど、でもそれはもう全部神様が決めるものです。とりあえず私たちはみんな奉仕者だから、彼らは全て神様に与えて、神様ははい、じゃあこの金を食卓のために用います、この麦じゃなくて、what do you call flour? Forget the word for flour. 小麦この小麦をじゃあそれは祭司が食べなければならないパンとして返します。この布を天幕のカバーとして返します。まああらゆること、この人たちの子孫はこの仕事をするために返します。皆さんは奉仕がある。でその奉仕は神様が決める。まあ今うちの家に10代の人たちが数人います。今この時期にみんなはじゃあ人生で何したらいいか考える時です。しかし重要です。あなたは勝手に決めることができない勝手に決めることができない。神様は皆さんを何々の形として与えているわけです。まあ勝手に決めてはならないということで、誰かの言う通りにしなければならないわけではない。神様から導かれる必要があります。はい。だからまずは自分の仕事とか自分の生活、これからの生き方を考えるときに、まず神様は私をどんな奉仕として教会に与えているかをまず考えましょう。それによって、まあ、自分のふさわしい仕事、自分のふさわしいコース、学びとか技術を考えましょう。分からなかったらまあ分からない、それは大丈夫です。しかし分からないから勝手に決めてもいいわけでもない、求めましょう。まあ本当に分からない と、まあ、何か自分が理解できる限りやりましょう。だけど最初にまず考えて祈るべきことは、神様は私の人生をどういうふうに用いたいと思っておられるか。で、まあ、僕の例はその高校終わる頃に創造論によって救われたから、その時はじゃあ何か人を救うために、あの、まあ、学校で創造論によって人をあの奉仕したいと思いますので、まあ、理科を学びました。まあ、結局途中で、まあ、2、3回ぐらい私のカリアは導きによって変わりましたけど、まあ、結局最初からのメッシは同じです。人に奉仕すること、あの、まあ、一応先生として教師として、それがまあ変わってない、ただ何を教えていることだけが変わりました。でも皆さんはどういうふうにあの与えられるかを、まあ、神様求めましょう。はい、何よりも私は牧師じゃないから何もせんでいいということはあの絶対にダメです。皆さんは奉仕者です。同じぐらい皆さんは聖霊を受けています。人を伝道するために、人のために祈る、人を助けるため、神様の性格をあらゆる人に見せるために私たちはみんな召されています。まあ、また来週これについてもまたあの話したいと思います。ただあのパウルがそのエフェソ4章でいつも言っている古い生き方、古い態度を、まあ、服みたいに脱いで、あの新しい人、イエス様に創造された新しい人を服みたいにつけなさい。服によって仕事が分かる。警察官は警察官の服、制服とか着ては警察だ、消防士だ、警備員だ、あの分かるものです。そのように私たちは新しい飯の服、生き方、備えをあのしましょう。まあ神様求めましょう。 何でもいいです。神様は私たちの一番素晴らしい奉仕を与えてくださる。ある人たちはあの貧しい位置で貧しい人に奉仕する必要もあります。ある人たちは社会人のサラリーマンの世界でサラリーマンに伝道するためにそういう生活もしなければならない。もう工場で働く人 もうみんなどこでも人がいる限りクリスチャンもいる必要がありますので、あるいは仕事とか神様は私たちを使わされていますので、まずその奉仕を求めましょう。神様は答えますから。 Alright, so number two. Number point two is, we've seen the pattern that Moses went down to Egypt, he took the people, he brought the people out, and then he went up to the mountain, and he gave them the law to teach them how to live, and he gave them the tabernacle that he might forgive their sins, purify them, and dwell among them. So the Midrash is that this is what Jesus does.Jesus comes down to this world and he sets us free. Now, again, Paul said about himself, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ. He's one of us. He's one of the prisoners who was set free, just like you and me. We are prisoners to sin and we're set free. And we're taken back, this time we're not taken to Sinai, we're taken to Pentecost. We're taken to Jerusalem at Pentecost. And there we get the Holy Spirit and we get the...we get the church. It's interesting. We sang the song today, Let God Arise. Psalm 68 begins with Let God Arise. As smoke is driven away by the wind, so God's enemies will be driven away. And as wax melts before the fire, so God's enemies will melt before God. What happens on the day of Pentecost? We get fire and wind. We get the fire comes down and the wind comes down.And just like wax melts, it shows what's not real. Smoke looks like it has form, but the wind comes and blows it away, and it loses its form. So when God arises, when God appears, then that which is real is shown to be real, and that which is fake is just dispersed away. That's what it means. Let God arise, and only those who are true in Him will stand. That is, the righteous rejoice, those who sing praises to his name, because they have him, they have his heart. But those who don't have his heart, they have nothing. So that's what he's showing us here. But what comes down on the day of Pentecost? Fire and wind. The fire and the wind come. So the idea is, when God arises, in other words, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we start to do our ministry in the church, God is arising. And then his enemies will be scattered. But if we don't do our ministries in the church, then nothing will change. So Paul interprets this in that way. So going back to Ephesians chapter 4, he says, why did this happen? Why did he ascend and descend? It was to give gifts to men. Now let's have a look. In chapter 11, it says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So, Paul says that the gifts that were given from God were people and ministers. And those people and ministers were to train everyone else to be people, to be ministers and servants of God. So here we have an interesting thing. It says, and this happens many times in Scripture. You often will find one person in the Bible will interpret a passage one way, and another person will take a different perspective on it. That's a normal thing, and that's a good thing. The Bible is, it contains the depth for us to be able to do that. Jesus said in Matthew 13 that when a scribe becomes a disciple, he takes out of a box things old and new. There are understandings that we've always had, for example, the historical Old Testament context, but then there's a new understanding that we can get, something that applies to our time today. One of the areas is in Psalm 68. It says he descended and he ascended and he gave gifts to men. But actually, the word gave there is also the word receive. And it's if you look it up, it has both meanings. And so in the commentaries on that passage, some people take the commentary that he received gifts, and others say he gave gifts, because the word means give and receive. It's the same word. So how do we understand that? Well, in the context of it, this is what it means. Of course, God gave the law and the tabernacle to Moses, but in order to give these things, he also had to receive from the people. First of all, it was the people who gave. They gave their gold. They gave their jewels. They gave their fabrics. They gave their dyes. They gave their precious things. Where else would they have got all of that material to build the things in the tabernacle? They needed leather, they needed wood, they needed spices, they needed all kinds of things. And the people dedicated everything that they had. And then God returned it to them as the precious things of the temple. He returned their earrings as the golden candlestick. He returned their grain as the showbread, which was special for the priests to eat. He returned their fabrics as the tabernacle so that God could dwell among them. And so what Paul is saying is the same thing. It's the same in the church. It says that he gave some to be... Now, he's taking the idea of the giving as in giving the gift. And he's saying he gave prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and apostles. Well, where did he get them? He just found them in a cupboard somewhere in heaven and sent them down? No. He gave them because people had given themselves to him, and God had given them back to the church. And that's the point for us. We need to, all of us, every one of us needs to give ourselves to God without any strings attached, and let God determine what he wants us to be. How should I live my life? Well, what is the form that God has made me into that I can serve in the church? In my family right now, there are at least three teenagers. And teenagers are people who need to make decisions about what they're going to do with their life. And it's hard. Yeah, I remember when I was a teenager, you change your mind. You like this, you like that, you want to do this, you want to do that. My first choice, I wanted to be a lawyer. So I said to my mum, I want to be a lawyer. And she said, you want to be a lawyer? I said, yeah. And she said, all right, let's go to court. So we went to court, and we went in, just the two of us, we went and watched a court case in Sutherland Court. And, you know, anyone can go into a court case because courts are open to the public. And it was some, I forget what it was, I couldn't have understood it anyway at the age that I was at. I just remember it was so boring, you know, that I thought I'd never want to be a lawyer. And so I didn't become a lawyer. Then I wanted to be an electrician, then I wanted to be an engineer, then I wanted to be a school teacher, then I wanted to be a science teacher, then I finally became an English teacher. But the point of it is, at the time that God took hold of my life, he started to show me. But he didn't make it absolutely clear in the beginning. The first thing he showed me is, I want you to be an evangelist. I want you to be someone who goes out to find people and share the gospel. And so I said, okay, all right, I'll be a primary school teacher. But then I found that my interests were in science, and so I thought, well, seeing as I was saved in the creation ministry, maybe I can do that. So God allowed me to do that. And then that was then that I got a clearer vision to come to Japan, and I ended up being an English teacher. Regardless, I'm still a teacher. I'm still sharing the gospel with people. So that's the way God leads us. He may not show you exactly what form your service is going to be from the beginning, but he will give you an idea, and you need to be sensitive. You need to start listening to the idea that God is giving you. What is the ministry that God is calling me to? And let that ministry be the thing then that will determine your job. Let that ministry be the thing that will determine the way that you live. There's nothing wrong with being rich if God calls you to be rich, because there's a need for Christian scholars. There's a need for people who are evangelists in the rich world. There's also nothing wrong with being poor. I was thinking this week that the best person to minister to poor people is a poor person, because it's a lot easier for a person who has nothing to minister to people who have nothing. They have an understanding that they wouldn't have with another person who's rich. And so there's nothing wrong. If you guys feel that God is calling you to a life where you're poor, and in that, you know, living day to day, working this job and that job, if that's the kind of life, that's all right. It's not a problem. If that's the calling that God has given to you, because you've got to think of what's your calling. And not everyone is an evangelist, of course. Right? There are all kinds of ministries. So I just chose the evangelist one there, but that's not everybody is an evangelist. There's apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. There's also helps. There's workers. There's prayers. Right? There's encouragers. There's all kinds of things. Counseling. There's all kinds of ministry that you can do. But first, you should say, this is the way that it works. We give ourselves to God. Those people who said, here's my earring. And they probably had no idea what it would come back as. And God sent it back as the golden lampstand, or the Ark of the Covenant overlaid with gold, or the seraphim or cherubim on top of the ark. Or they gave their old shirt and it came back as part of the tabernacle or something like that. We don't know what God is going to do with us, but we are called to give ourselves to God, and then he will change us and he will give us back to the church. Okay. Point three. はい。三つ目のポイントは、これは、エフェソに全く出てこないので、パウロは、その人たちが自分と自分のすべてを神様に与えて、神様は御心通りにそれを受け入れて、変えて、おのおのの奉仕として、教会に返す。そういうパターンです。しかし、パウルが言わなかったものはまだあります。それを見てください。それは詩編68。詩編68の文。18節。あなたは豊漁を引き連れて糸叩きところに登り、人々に顔面な者どもにさえ、 贈り物を与えられた。神である主がそこに住まわれるために。はい、顔面なものでさえどういう意味でしょう、顔面なものでさえ。まあ、あの英語ではそれは反抗する人たち、 rebellious、 反抗、まあ邪悪、反抗的、神様にとりあえず従わないあの人たち、顔面、まあ、日本語の意味よく分からんけど、 is that mean rebellious?
頑固、
あんまり、まあ、言われる通りにしないとか、そういうあのことです。まずは神様は、あ、モーセは誰を連れて行ったでしょう。結構頑固な顔面な神でした。彼らはもうすぐに文句を言いました。すぐに黄金の子牛を作ってしまった。すぐにあの人の飯を欲しがってむさぼった。もういちいち彼らがあの不満を抱いていた。悪い人たち、いい人たちじゃなかった。モーセはそのような悪い人たちのためにエジプトに行って、そのような悪い人たちを連れて行って、そのような悪い反抗頑固的な人たちのために金の素晴らしい食堂、あの天幕、食材、あのあるゆる立法とその祭祀の役のものとか、もう全部悪い人たちのために与えた。やがてその民は全人あるので亡くなった。それほど悪かった。じゃあ私たちの新約聖書の場面にそのポイントを入れましょう。じゃあ例えば僕は牧師です。神様から現れてきた。今日のメッセージは祈りながら与えられた。せっかく言ったのに誰も従わないと、じゃあどうなる？諦める？僕が間違った？それは神様のメッセージではなかったでしょうかと思う。まあそういう時があるね。がっかりする。しかしその場合がっかりしなくてもいい、思い煩わなくてもいい、怒らなくてもいい。なぜなら、それは確かに神様から与えられた言葉。確かに祈りながら、まあ、例えね、祈りながらいただいた。確かにちゃんとできる限り伝えたけど、人が受け入れたかどうかは彼ら次第。だからといって悪い方針とか間違ったわけではない。じゃあ別の例を考えましょう。伝道師。もう友達みんな言っているのに誰も信じてない。じゃあもしかしたら私伝道師として召されてない。もしかしたら私は伝道を勝手にしているけど、それは神様の召しじゃないと思うかもしれない。そうでしょうか。でも成功しているかどうかによって私たちの奉仕を決めるわけではない。祈りながら、聖書を読みながら、考えながら、神様が心に与えているもの、御言葉から語っているものによって私たちは導かれる。感情によってとか成功の積累、あの私たちのどれだけ成功したの歴史とか、それによって導かれるわけではない。神の前に座って祈りながら、その神様の今の箇所はどれが私に語っているかを受け入れて、それによって導かれる。だから例えば伝道師は友達みんな言ったのに誰も信じなかった、大丈夫です。なぜなら もし神様はあなたを伝道師として与えたなら伝道してください。人が信じなくてもいい。でも常に自分の奉仕を確かめましょう。いつも聖書を読む、いつも聖霊の声を聞き従う。導かれるときにそのようにしましょう。もしかしたら途中で奉仕が変わるかもしれない。パウルの奉仕も変わりました。時々、例えばまあ教師はいろんな人を教えるのに人は学べない。学校の先生はどうなる？生徒たちがあまり学べなかったら辞めさせられる？そうでもない。先生はもうずっと教える。彼らはとりあえずそのクリクルも教えればいいでしょう、職として。まあ奉仕もそうです。神様に言われる通りにしたら大丈夫です。例えば私たちは人を助けたのに、その人が私たち の, 助けを認めない。人を助けることによってその人を助けようと思ったのに、その人は全然うまく利用しなかった場合もあります。大丈夫、それも助けなかったよかったと思わない。それはまあ私たちは神様の愛を示した。でそれで十分、それで奉仕が満たされているので、悪い反抗的な人に私たちは奉仕するために言われています。のでまあパウルも主人で、罪の主人として私たちはみんな悪いです。だから自分の奉仕はもうあんまり受け入れなくてもいいと思ってください。自分の奉仕は人は大事にされないと思ってください。自分の奉仕は神様水のように地面に転ぼされる、こぼされるように、何の益をもたらせないけど、神様にはそれは素晴らしいと思っているから、祈ってください、伝道してください、助けてください、人のために命をかけてください。私たちはそのように召されているから、そのように力を受けているから、はい、成功であるかどうかではない。のでまあ一応今日はそのパターンを学びました。イエス様は来て捕虜を、私たちを神様のところに連れて行った。新しい形で私たちは教会に返される。聖霊の教えによって私たちは導かれるけど、山の下の人たちは黄金の子牛を礼拝してますよ。彼らは全然あなたの奉仕を認めません。大丈夫です、奉仕してください。神様は忠実、神様の愛は永遠に変わらないので、私たちはその変わらない永遠の愛を示すために召されています。はい、 So the last point is that now Paul said that this applies to the church. Jesus comes down into the worldAnd he brings us out of captivity of sin. We give ourselves and our things to God, and God changes us and gives us back to the church. But there's one thing that Paul didn't emphasize, which Psalm 68 does emphasize. So I'd like to look at that one aspect of it. In verse 18, Psalm 68 verse 18, it says this: You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train,and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. Notice it says, even among the rebellious. So this is an interesting point. Because when Moses was up on that mountain, what were they doing at the bottom? They were making idols, making golden calves. And up until that point, they had been complaining, they were in unbelief,They were upset about the food, upset about the water, upset about the heat, upset about everything. Later on, they were upset about who was going to do what ministry, They were upset about God's wrath, God's anger. They were upset about Moses' wife. I mean, any reason you want, they were upset. When finally God told them to go into the promised land, they didn't go. These are the people that God gave the gifts to. And so Paul is telling the church, come on, let's be one. I know you're all different. I know everyone's got their own ways and ideas and whatever, but we need to be one. But the reality is, that's a good teaching, but often it's the case that when we minister, when we come down as a teacher, or we come down as an evangelist, or we come down as a help, or we come down as a prayer, or we come down as an apostle or a pastor, that the people are not going to appreciate, receive, or believe our ministry. So the first thing is, you need to understand that. Because when God calls you to a ministry, and the people don't receive you, that doesn't mean that you made a mistake. It doesn't mean, oh, I guess I was wrong. I guess I wasn't supposed to be a pastor after all, because I got up there in my first sermon and forgot what I was supposed to say, and I couldn't get anything right, and I made a mistake in my doctrine. I guess I wasn't called to be a pastor. No, that's not true. Or you might think, well, I'm supposed to be an evangelist, and yet I've told everyone I can think of, and no one's listening. I told all my neighbors, no one's listening. I told all my students, no one's listening. I spoke to my family, they're not listening. I guess I can't really be an evangelist. No, that's not true. Because Moses gave the law to people who didn't want to keep the law. He still was called by God to give them the law, right? So we need to understand, how do we call? We're called as the Holy Spirit shows each one what he wants them to do. As we read the Word of God, and as we think in our heart about what is God saying to me, what is important to me, what scriptures is he teaching me at the moment? What is it that I feel the strongest about that God is putting on my heart? And it's confirmed as I read other passages, and people might say something to me, and I get these confirmations. What is it that God is leading? I don't know what God's calling you to, but the Holy Spirit will show you. And it doesn't matter if God calls you to a ministry if nobody seems to accept it. Now, if you just went out on your own bat and decided, I'm going to do this, and it doesn't work, Maybe you got it wrong. Maybe I had a friend once, and he said, I'm going to Indonesia, I'm going to start an orphanage, I'm going to get 100 kids. I'm sure it was his ambition talking. I know that even if he did go to Indonesia, he didn't stay there. So I don't think it was God's calling. I also know someone once who said, I'm going to go to East Timor and start an orphanage, and it never happened. So I can appreciate that that was one of my mistakes, that I've gone and it wasn't God's calling for me at the time. But we learn by our mistakes. There are times like that, but there are also times where you really do feel called to do something and it doesn't work. Maybe you're a teacher and people don't follow your teaching. Maybe you're a pastor and people don't accept your leadership. Maybe you're a help and people don't appreciate your help. I helped that guy and then he just misused what I gave him and ran away, right? It doesn't mean you were wrong to help. It means that, just like the people here, they were rebellious. Just like the people in church, we are rebellious, right? All of us. Paul said, I, the prisoner of the Lord. He was a prisoner to sin, now he's a prisoner to the Lord. Paul, at his best, was a prisoner. And we, at our best, are prisoners, right? We're just prisoners like everybody else, struggling with the reality of coming out of sin and not knowing how to do it, and trying to see the light, but often misunderstanding the light. So I encourage you that you are a minister. God has called some to the teaching ministry, but that's only to prepare those who are in the normal ministry. You guys are all ministers, all of you. And your ministry is to be led by the Spirit of God. And make sure that you don't give up because people didn't seem to respond. Moses went down to a rebellious people, and they never stopped being a rebellious people, ever. But God still loves them. God didn't give up on them, and God showed that everlasting love through Moses' faithfulness. And so our ministries, even if no one ever listens to a single thing we ever say, no one appreciates a single thing we ever do, if God called us to do it, and we did it, then we are a faithful minister. The Holy Spirit has come to empower you to be a faithful minister. And the Holy Spirit doesn't fail, whether people listen or not. Remember, the Holy Spirit filled Stephen. Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit while they stoned him to death. He was still filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet they stoned him to death. So the success or failure doesn't make the minister right or wrong. Okay, let's pray.
あなたはこの教会を昔から目で見ました。私たち今日集まっている人たちの各々の奉仕をご存知です。私たちはどう生きるべきか、どのように奉仕するべきか、あなたは計画があります。どうか私たちに教えてください。そして人々がそれを受け入れなくても、
あなたの愛を示せるように、信仰を持って、あなたの命を分かち与えれるように導いてください。本当に感謝します。神様、誰かが私のために、私たちのために命を懸けて福音を伝えてくださいました。私たちもあなたの栄光のゆえに、あなたの愛を多くの人に分かち与えることができるように導いてください。感謝します。あなたこそ救いです。イエスの御名によって祈ります。アメン。